Welcome to the Jim Jefferies Show. I'm Jim Jefferies. Look, this is the show before the show, after the show, during the show. This is the show where we talk about the show. This is a podcast. This is a podcast.
You just said welcome to the Jim Jefferies Show.
The Jim Jefferies Show podcast. Okay. And what we do is we talk about a TV show that you may or may not have listened to. Because I found out recently that 70% of the people who listen to this podcast are foreign. And it turns out that foreign people are real people with emotions and feelings. And so thank you for listening to the show. We really do appreciate it. I'm here with my always co-host, Mr. Forrest Shaw. Say hello, Forrest.
Hi. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
But please, please interview our guests. please introduce our guests that we have.
Well, first of all, why don't you tell people where you're going to be? Just do a couple of promos.
Where am I going to be? I'm going to be October 13th at the Baltimore at the Hippodrome, October 14th at Durham, at the North Carolina at the Durham Performing Arts Center, October 27th at the, how do I pronounce that? Unkinsville.
It's the Mohegan Sun.
Unkinsville, Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun. That would be a casino. So if you have a gambling problem near Connecticut, that's the place to see me. I'll also be October 28th at the West Hampton Beach Performing Center. What even town is that in?
That's like in Long Island.
Oh, it's Long Island. Yeah. So the Mooch is going to be there. He's going to open for me.
No, actually, that's funny you should mention that. Because let's introduce our guests today. We have two writers from the Jim Jefferies Show. We have Laura Wilcox and we have J.J. Whitehead.
Hello.
I know.
What are the chances? Now, if anyone doesn't know,
J.J. will be opening for you there. That was the segue. Yeah.
If anyone doesn't know how these podcasts work, what happens is the rest of our we have eight writers, and the other six writers are actually working upstairs. And we take two of the writers, and they come downstairs, and they do the They do the podcast, and for some reason, this is harder work than writing on the next episode.
You think?
I think it is. They always seem to begrudgingly come down.
No, I think they like it. I just think you got to give them some more space to get words in.
All right. Well, what have you got coming up?
I didn't mean it like that. Like you said,
nothing to say.
Okay, just keep talking.
Have you two got gigs coming up that you want to promote?
I'm going to be in Long Island opening for Jim Jefferies.
Well, that's horrible. Why would you want to do that? Now, this particular show.
Wait, Laura, you had something you wanted to promote. Didn't you have something you wanted to promote?
She said she had nothing to say.
She didn't have a gig, but you had.
I wrote a book, and I think it's really going to appeal to this audience in particular. It's a parody wedding guidebook. It's called I Am Bride. For all my ladies listening, you can buy it on Amazon, anywhere books are sold.
Women don't listen.
That's 24% of our audience. Yes. 24%.
Yeah. Is it really 24%?
I think it's something like that, right?
You've got the stats in that?
Yeah, we can look at all the stats.
All right,
I think that's who follows the show, in social media.
Yeah, 24% of women actually follow the show, so that's great.
There you go. You can read 25% uptick.
So let's talk about the show that actually happened. This has been a very sad week in America, if not in the world. We obviously had the massacre that happened in Las Vegas, where a man took around 20 guns into the Mandalay Bay Hotel, and he shot into a crowd of people who were just enjoying some country music, which I can't see how anyone would enjoy country music, but that's what they were doing. Look, obviously, this isn't where comedy's at. You don't want to be talking about massacres. I've been very outspoken about my opinions on the Second Amendment and also on gun control in this country. I receive hate mail on a daily basis because of what I've said. And I just gave a little speech at the beginning where I basically just said that I've given up. You know, if you want to hear any more about what I think about gun control, you can watch the stand-up routine, you can post it or what have you. But I don't believe that after what happened in Sandy Hook and what happened in the Pulse nightclub, that if you didn't change the laws then, you're not going to change them now. So that is a very miserable way to start a podcast. I don't want to labor too much about what the horrible happenings that happened in Las Vegas. I as I said, I don't know how. Well, I know how we fix this problem. I don't know if America will ever make the changes that are necessary.
You're tired of talking about it, is what you're saying?
I am tired of talking about it. It's weird. Like, after the massacre, people actually wrote to me and they said, say something. And it's like, what exactly do you want me to say that hasn't already been said? You know, you watch all the other late night hosts and they give an impassionate appeal to the president or to society to make changes. And I really, in my heart of hearts, don't think anything's going to change. I think that people who love guns in this country are so indoctrinated that they believe that having a gun is a good thing. You'll never sell me on this particular thing. I grew up in a gun-free society. I moved to Britain, which was an even more gun-free society than Australia. And I think a piece that we did 2 weeks ago, we did a piece on the police in Birmingham, which is called the murder capital of Britain. And we just noticed just cops just running around with a stick and pepper spray, and everything seems to be working out fine. So right now, there's people who are listening, who are angry, who are going to write to me and go, well, it's a different culture and you don't understand if the government gets too tyrannical or whatever. So what are you willing to give up? Like, when do your freedoms of owning a gun infringe on my freedoms of being able to take a girlfriend or my kid to a fucking concert? Or when I stand on stage, I shouldn't feel like I'm in danger of someone standing up and shooting the fucking room up. But you know what? Have your gun and protect your family or whatever the fuck you're going to do. But just know that I don't think very much of you or your views. Now, that's a very harsh thing to say, but we did lighten up.
Yeah, let's transition into the fun part.
We did lighten up the show by talking about the hurricanes that happened in Puerto Rico. So a fluffy subject.
Yeah.
The people in Puerto Rico, they've been having problems. We actually cut a joke. There was a joke in this. So we tried to not make light of, but we tried to mention all the problems that Puerto Rico was having and try to insert jokes about how Trump was dealing with the floods in Puerto Rico and whatnot. There was a joke that I particularly liked that we had to cut, and there was a joke about how, and this is the truth, I moved to America 8 years ago, and if you asked me 8 years ago if Puerto Rico was part of America, I would say definitely not.
Yeah.
I didn't know that Puerto Rico was part of America. The way that I actually learned that Puerto Rico was part of America was by watching John Oliver's piece on Puerto Rico a year ago. He's very clever. He is smarter than me, and you can know that because he has glasses. And it's like you trust people with a British accent, right? Like, I just sound like an idiot the whole time. He sounds like he's trustworthy. But me and John Oliver actually started out in the British circuit at the same time. There is actually a pilot out there. There is a pilot. When Texas Hold'em Poker was at its peak, where what happened was they would ask you a question.
This the Sky TV?
There's a Sky TV where me and it exists. There is a pilot with me and John Oliver, where someone wrote a show, and this was the idea. They asked a question, and they said, "Okay." They asked the beginning of the question, and then you could gamble how much you knew the answer, right? And the first question they did was, they just said a few words. They go, Tom Cruise, mm-hmm. right? Now, that week, Suri had just been born. So this can actually date what happened, right? So I was like, all in, because I thought the answer was fucking Suri. And then John Oliver went, all in? And then we sat there, and then they went, how high is his ranking in Scientology? And then we both went, I don't know. And then all the chips were in and they went, well, that's the end of the show. And then they made an edit point and they said to us both, they go, can you try to gamble a little slower? And I went, well, don't fucking ask about Tom Cruise and Suri. So
are you friends with him?
I'm not unfriends with John. I respect John, but
I don't really think...
Do you know him?
We're in the same circles.
Yeah, when you say friends, I don't have his phone number. I couldn't text him, but if I saw him at a party, I think we would be friendly to each other.
Do you know him, JJ, or not?
Yeah, I know him as well. I started comedy with him as well. So okay. I was in a few new act competitions with him. I remember that.
Did you win?
Yeah, I did actually.
You should text them that.
Look how our careers turned out.
Yeah,
because
HBO was there that day.
That's it. Well, let's be honest. It's really Comedy Central, and they let him slip through their fingers. Sorry, Comedy Central. You've got me now. Everything's going to be fine. Actually, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Now they're actually looking at me in the corner because Comedy Central.
Yeah, that's more awkward than the gun stuff you just
said.
Yeah,
Comedy Central sit on this podcast and they're looking at me going, oh, God, if you mention Samantha Bee, I'm going to slip my wrists. So what we did was we talked about Puerto Rico.
And he went there today. He was there today or Trump, yesterday. And this comes out Trump tomorrow.
That's
so,
a
yeah,
weird
yesterday.
Thing. Like sometimes with the podcast, with the TV show. We're very happy because we've written the whole show by Friday and we're like, oh, over the moon. And then like fucking someone shoots up a fucking, you know, whatever. And then we have to write a new thing. And then like this morning we were sitting in there, the script was almost done. And then someone said, Trump said some bullshit. And what did he say?
He went down to Puerto Rico and held basically like a pep rally for himself. Where he was just talking about what a great job he's done.
It looked like the boardroom of The Apprentice to him, I think.
Yeah.
Again. So he's just standing there singing his own praises.
Yeah, he was saying, he was congratulating himself and everyone that only 16 people have died. It wasn't a disaster like Katrina, which was really a...
They're doing great with death.
He chastised Puerto Rico for, like, costing a lot of money and being a... You know, hurting their budget. Yeah. Or something
I think the
like that.
What was the actual quote though? What was the actual quote? Because I said it in the show. I can't remember.
Oh, he said about the budget.
Yeah.
It was like,
what's the word?
It's like you're putting our budget out of whack or something.
Yeah.
The word whack was involved.
You're throwing our budget out of whack. Thanks a lot, Puerto Rico.
You're throwing our budget out of whack.
Which I think was supposed to be a snide joke. He did pause for a laugh, but it's a horrible thing.
Horribly
out of touch.
You're throwing our budget out of whack.
Why aren't I getting a round of applause here? That was really clever of me.
Also, Melania was sitting next to him dressed like a Getty image model of like beautiful woman goes somewhere to help in relief. So she was wearing like an army jacket and a baseball hat over all white pants and a white shirt, which I know I wear all white when I'm going to like help.
Well, Labor Day hasn't happened yet.
She wore the stilettos.
Have I already gone past Labor Day?
Yeah,
I've been wearing white like a fucking idiot.
I'm
not even from this country. When was Labor Day? I've been wearing white like a moron. I got to tell you about Melania Trump because every day, I'm not going to say I like her, but every day I get it a little bit more. Because we went out to Slovenia. We went to the hometown where Melania Trump comes from. And I get it.
What I get is
that she married like an old rich guy. Yeah. And I get now that she's in a situation where she's like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah, how you gotta think. She was about 5 minutes from leaving him.
Yeah, she was so close to leaving.
She was probably sure you can run for president.
The chances that she didn't vote for Hillary are very slim. Like, she was in that booth all by herself, and she's just like, I'm with her. And she was ticking away.
Yeah.
And then when he won, she was like, ah, oh, fuck me. I think that the most recent thing was when she gave a little speech, and then Trump, like, shook her hand.
Yeah, he shouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, he also said, gave another speech recently where he was like, Melania really wanted to be here, but she was standing right next to him and he forgot.
Yeah, but mentally she wasn't there.
Well, that's true.
No, we were talking about that in the room. We were looking at her in the room while Trump was doing this little
giving
talk. And we're like, where do you think Melania is right now?
She looked like she was so
far
away.
Just like looking through him.
Yeah. I just wanted to like zoom into her brain and she's just like spinning on a hilltop like Maria. Like.
This is my prediction for Melania Trump, and you're going to hear it here first, is that as soon as Trump is voted out, whether it be in a few years or whether it be in like 7 years, what's going to happen is as soon as he's out of office, they will get divorced.
Oh yeah.
And then she will date another billionaire or another famous person. It's going to be like Jackie Onassis or whatever. Mm-hmm. Does anyone want to take any bets right now on who the next billionaire is going to be?
Oh. What if she goes younger?
The answer is me. I plan on making a lot of money in the next 7 years. No, I just feel like it's gonna be like we're gonna follow her the same way that you follow. Like remember when like Diana left Charles and then Dodi Al-Fayed. There's going to be a Dodie Al-Fayed in her life that we're going to, and she's going to become more tabloidy after the divorce.
I think people aren't fascinated, or I don't think she's beloved enough. Like, Jackie O is beloved. People really were into her.
See, this is the thing about Diana, though. Everyone says that Diana was beloved, but if you really watch the last sort of month of her life, all the papers were like, this fucking whore dating an Egyptian. Like, it was nasty. Whoa. It was nasty. It was nasty because I remember there was my mother was in hospital at the time, and there was a pile of magazines that my mother had been collecting up in the hospital. And each magazine was just like this nasty fucking nasty, 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 nasty. And then it became the People's Princess.
Yeah.
It was like they all were like, oh, the tabloid. My mother said that. She was in hospital and she goes, oh, the paparazzi have blood on their hands. And I said, Mom, look at this shit you're fucking reading. You have fucking blood on your hands. Also, that's why you're in hospital. She had some problems with her hands. me and my brothers were cutting my mother's hands all the time. It was a very weird thing. I don't know how she got in there. So that's what happened. We talked about what was happening in Puerto Rico. It was, look, it is an ongoing thing. We have put on the TV show where you can donate money to help the people of Puerto Rico. And I do say that you should do that. What was the next subject? We talked about government spending.
Yes, yeah. Government spending, specifically in the GOP.
Which was a weird sort of subject. I know, like, John Oliver talked about it a couple of weeks earlier in his thing. And then there was
that made it hard for us to decide where to put the Trump quotes from this morning because the budget was out of whack.
Yeah, so the budget was out of whack. We thought we could put that in the second act or we could put it in the first act. And what happened was, like, so there was another story about the guy who sort of looks like John Oliver who had the...
Mnuchin,
who has the beautiful new wife. Yeah. And they went on honeymoon and they spent all the money. And he was the same guy in last week's episode that said freedom of speech should be done on your own time, right. which was something that I actually really stuck with me as such a cunty thing to say.
They also took a private plane to go see the eclipse, him and his wife in Kentucky.
Like they just
it's like that. Yeah,
it's
just
like the moon.
They're all
moving.
Taking the planes. Yeah. They're taking the planes everywhere.
All right. So what happened was we took the angle of, and this is true, that Donald Trump was very adamant about draining the swamp and government expenditure, and that the politicians are taking too much money and doing too many different things. And so when we found out about all the different flights and the private jets and the hotels and the things that people were up to, it was one thing for me that we did bring up in the writer's room that we did make sure that, is this just a thing that all governments do? Is this something that the Democrats did before them? And it turned out it wasn't.
Yeah, no. Not to this extent.
Not to this extent. Everyone does it a little bit. Everyone takes from work a little bit. But it turns out that this current administration is doing this to an extreme amount. And so, like, that's why we say in the piece, if you watch the show, we said, look, all people steal from work. We all take pens and post-its. And we talked about me going off to do a piece on the Great Barrier Reef that worked out, but there are closer reefs, right? But it turns out that, no, there hasn't been an administration that has spent more money than this current one. Donald Trump is getting up to right now the amount of time that Obama actually spent golfing. And one of the big things...
Also money
in 8 years. Yeah. In 8 years. And he's doing it in less than a year.
Right.
And one of Trump's big things during his campaign when he was speaking to his base was that, oh, I won't be spending time golfing. It turns out he golfs the fuck out of it.
Yeah,
but also spending-wise, that's that stat of, right. Like, in 8 years, Obama's spending and Trump's going to be at that amount within
like
1 year. He's doing a great job. He's tearing through it.
He's really draining that swamp.
Yeah, but nobody seems to care. Like, all these, you know, like, it does not, it's just weird because it doesn't affect anything that he's doing that he said he wasn't going to do, it doesn't affect his base, like, ever. It doesn't seem to be.
Love it. That's why he talks so much shit. He can talk absolute shit, and everybody that...
So very, very rarely on the... One of the policies we have on the show is that we don't really do sketches. And hopefully, we'll never have a moment where I'm interviewing a person as a character and we do a fake interview. But we did do something in this particular episode where we had one of our writers, Lucas, play a coal miner. So if you're watching the
performance.
Yeah, it was. It's really very funny. It's very funny. You got the end credits as well. So if you're watching the episode and there's a coal miner that's talking about how much he wants a president who owns golf clubs and gold mines, please know that that isn't a piece of stock footage that we actually did record that.
I think you'll be able to figure it out, but
he's
just in case.
Let's be honest, the most handsome coal miner ever.
I think the one of the most interesting thing was, or like weird things, was the phone booth though that Scott Pruitt.
Oh, we did talk a lot about that. Scott Pruitt had a phone booth put in the corner of his office because he wanted to have private phone calls. And I don't know if that's because of, like, back going back to Nixon, where everything that was done in the office was tape recorded. I know that happened as well during Obama, that everything in every office that happened was tape recorded. I don't know if that's still the case in the White House, that he thought he needed a special booth.
Why does he get to, like,
yeah, it looks
circumvent
like he's
those
obviously
going
to get up to seedy things.
Yeah, it's like it's right, so obvious.
Well, the thing that I've said to me, while we're in the office, we talked about this because when we're in the writer's room, because we had no idea how much a private phone booth should cost. And it turns out not more than $7,000.
Right.
At your highest bid, you can't spend more than $7,000 to have a private phone booth in your office. And he spent $25,000.
Yeah.
Too much.
Look, I used to be a biologist. That's what I used to do. And so I guess I think about it a lot more. But I feel like he is the most underrated piece of shit in Trump's administration, because I don't think people are really thinking about the EPA and how it's being run.
No.
And this guy, like, currently has lawsuits that he filed against the EPA when he was the attorney general in Oklahoma that are still, they're still there. They still exist.
They're
and he's
active.
Running the organization. How's that legal? That doesn't even seem like that would be a, I mean, forget the phone booth. It's probably extra money because it's lined with, you know, panda skin or something like that. But it's
made entirely out of carbon dioxide.
He's just flying under the radar as this guy that's like just making all these deals over dinners with all these special interest groups that he's just, it's incredible. But
All right, so there's a bit of silence on the radio right now because my assistant Jack is trying to open a beer for the first time.
Okay. Who's the beer for?
He's opening one for me. Jason wants one. You right, Laura? What are you drinking, an IPA?
Yeah, it was in... What's wrong with that?
No, nothing
that
was wrong
all
with
of
that.
It was in the fridge.
No, I like that. It's fancy. I like that.
I'm going to take the fancy
beer. I like that you're doing that. Do you want anything to drink first?
Yeah, I'll have a beer, sure.
All right. Anyone else in the room? Comedy Central, you want something to drink?
I recommend.
You're all right? IPA, Londy, what do you want? You want a beer? Jack, get Londy a beer.
All right. Jack's trying the date as well. Do you know that?
Huh?
Jack's trying the date as well.
Okay, so if I got to tell you, I'm going to sell you all to us. Now, there was a scene in the show where I said, if you want to donate money, why don't you dedicate a cup from your own house? Now, there was a young man holding a Jim Jefferies mug. That was Jack Hackett.
Boom.
Now, that was Jack Hackett.
It's a real name.
Yep.
Yeah, Jack Hackett is my assistant.
He had no choice but to do comedy with that name.
Yeah, he's a stand-up comedian. I'm not going to say an amateur stand-up comedian because I haven't seen him perform yet, but he's a very funny young man. He's unconventionally good looking. he comes from old money girls, so you really want to get on the Hackett Express.
Forrest, maybe you should date him.
Yeah. You really want to get on the Hackett Express. Now, he's had sex with like two women, so his dick is pristine.
Two? You've had it's
you
two
could,
good?
You could eat off Hackett's dick.
He's saying no,
you
it's
could
not two.
Eat off Hackett's
he
dick.
Says not even, it's just one, he says.
I was trying to big him up.
One is cleaner. His dick is cleaner with one.
No. These are nice young fucking girls who have done it. Get a catchphrase. Like, go, Jack, can you hack it? Like, just say that to women. They're going to love that.
Women love catchphrases.
Yeah, they love catchphrases. I think you can do better, Jack.
No, we say his name like the Hot Pockets, just so you know.
Jack Hackett.
Yeah.
Anyway, I didn't know we did that. I'm going to
No, over. We do it over here in the digital department.
Yeah, in the other building. Yeah. Jack Hackett. Jack Hackett sounds like a fucking accomplished man who can do
it.
Now that was one of the weird things. When I was naming my son, right, he was named after my ex's, Kate's father was called Hank. So it was called Hank Jeffries. Now, this is going to sound like, I don't know if this is misogynistic or what this is, but I did go around to all the girls that I knew because I wanted him to have a good life. And I went up to all the girls I knew and I said, would you fuck a guy called Hank Jeffries? And they all took a pause and they went, I would fuck a guy called Jeffries. You know what I mean? I went, all right, that name's all right. Because Hank Jeffries sounds like a guy who's got a big dick who can fix things. And that's what the name Jack Hackett means.
Yeah.
Jack Hackett is a name you can trust. Jack Hackett doesn't let you down. He'll bring
it. Sounds like an agent from 24.
He'll help you move furniture. He'll help you move furniture. But he don't take the piss. Don't take him for granted because he won't do it every time. He'll do it just once off because Jack Hackett has shit to do.
All right. You sounded like Michael Caine at the end there for some reason. But...
because Jack Hackett has things to do.
There you go.
When Jack Hackett comes to move furniture for you, you have to believe that Jack Hackett is doing it for the right reasons. Anyway, so after...
yeah, let's not forget...
this is a very loose podcast this week.
Yeah.
This one's way more organized than last week.
Really? What happened last week?
I don't know.
Did I vomit and just shit myself halfway through? Because I don't see how it could have been going much better than this one. Anyway, so after that, we had on the Insane Clown Posse.
ICP.
Yeah. Now,
what are their names? Do you remember their names?
Please say their names again.
No, because one of them...
No,
I'll tell you what. Because one of them's called Violent J.
Yeah.
And the other one's called P. Diddy.
No, no, it's Shaggy Too Dope.
Shaggy Too Dope.
Shaggy Too Dope.
Too Dope.
Like Shaggy, Too Dope. Shaggy Too Dope.
I'm saying everything you're saying.
You're not.
Shaggy Too Dope.
Shaggy Too Dope.
You're saying Too Dope.
Count to
three.
Just count to three.
One, two, three, Shaggy Too Dope.
Shaggy Too Dope.
Also, wait.
I'm putting the two in. I know how you want me to say it. You want to go Shaggy Too Dope or something.
Say two broke girls. Do you say to broke girls?
To broke girls.
Oh, no, right, okay.
You do not say that.
To broke girls.
No, shaggy to dope. So what happened was, so we had Violent J and Shaggy to dope. And just before I went to interview them, one of our producers came up to me and they said, Violent J just likes to be called J now.
No.
There was a note. You're not to call him Violent J. You have to call him J. There's some custody battle going on with him and his ex. No, I'm kidding.
It's funny because when you said that, I was like sitting in this. I looked over at Scott and you guys didn't do anything. So I go, oh, I guess he's going by J now.
I got told you're just to call him J, which is weird because if the other one just shortens his name, is his name going to become two?
No, Shaggy.
It's too dope, I think.
Or Dope.
Jay and Shaggy.
It's just Jay and Dope. Anyway.
Jay talked a lot more.
It's very interesting. I had never heard of Shaggy to Dope and Jay and the Violent Clown Posse. I met them before.
The Insane Clown Posse.
And I met them before the show, and they couldn't have been sweeter young men. I met them and I said, thank you so much for coming on the show. And they're like, oh, okay, thank you for having me. And then they were like, I'm not a great interviewer, which is bullshit.
I do have
I'm
a question
amazing.
For you. Do they put comedy in their music, though? Do they? They're quite serious, aren't they?
I assume they put some clown comedy. There'd be rap stars. There'd be something like.
Because every time you told a joke, they were like, I was looking for them to laugh, and they'd be like, yeah.
Yeah,
they
kind
of just absorb
it. There was a lot of things. Yeah.
Pretty serious clowns.
I don't know if they'd ever. They warmed to me, to be honest. But what happened was, so Shaggy the Dope and Silent Bob came out. and I interviewed him. And it is a very interesting thing because what happened is, and this is a very, like, this is one of those freedom of speechy things that is like right on the cusp of what you agree with, whatever. But they have their fan base is called the Juggalos, which I assume has something to do with juggling and mixed in with the word gigolo.
There's no juggling.
I think juggalos is a thing. Isn't that a male prostitute?
No, that's a gigolo. That's a gigolo. It's a gigolo.
It's the juggalos and the juggalettes, I think, if they're
female.
This
is such an informational podcast.
Yes, the juggalos and the gigolettes. So anyway, they drink some like shitty fucking
Fago.
Shitty Detroit fucking Fanta. And what happened is now is the FBI deemed if you were a fan of the Insane Clown Posse, you're a member of a gang. So let's say you're on prohibition or what have you. If you went along to the concert, that could be breaking your prohibition. You could get into a lot of trouble.
Prohibition?
Prohibition. But, that's what I was saying. Why don't you run the fucking podcast then? If we're going to point out every time I'm a moron, then this is going to be a very long show. Anyway, I'm not good with the words. I'm the Sean Spicer of me. So
if you're on probation.
If you're on probation, what will happen is you go along, and there was a case that they actually had a rally in Washington, D.C. where they spoke about it, and there was a woman who spoke who actually lost her children.
Because she's a fan.
Yeah, she'd had no abuse in her history. The children had been taken care of, but because she had done some other crime and then she showed up at the Insane Clown Posse, her children were taken away from her. So it had become this very much like why are you in trouble just for having, just being a fan of a band? Now, I still to this moment, and I lied to them when I met them, I still have not heard an Insane Clown Posse song, but I assume it's mostly about big shoes and the honking noise. I assume they have a hit.
Fitting in a car.
I assume they have a hit called Smell This Flower.
One of our writers was disappointed to find out that they don't do any actual clowning.
That was Lucas, our handsome coal miner.
Here, I have a song. You want to hear? Oh, no, we probably can't play it on the...
We can't play, but they were very sweet.
It's rap rock.
They were very sweet. They were a fun interview.
Google them and have a listen.
But yeah, Suba,
we can't play it.
I'll do my imitation
is a clown,
of it.
Right? Suba's done her share of clowning, correct? Is that
what?
Suba, who, if you go back to our first podcast, Suba,
I think that's a miscategorization.
Suba, one of our writers, is a clown.
No, she would do like balloon animals at parties to earn money, like in college.
I tell you what, when I had it for some of my son's birthdays. Rather than employ a clown, I employed a balloon artist.
There we go, balloon artist.
Now, I got to tell you, for like $200, best money you've ever spent.
Yeah.
Everyone starts off with like, whatever. And then it's just like magic tricks. You go up going, make me an E.T. You know, like you try to get more and more elaborate, right? Yeah. And then like all the women were wearing like balloon diamond rings. And everyone was wearing like balloon crowns, and the kids got bored of it, and adults were just walking up going, make me a bike.
Like a real balloon artiste.
You know, one thing that you mentioned it, that there was a Juggalo march in Washington because of this whole thing.
And you could hear them coming because of the squeaky shoes.
But wasn't it like the same day? Because you guys are going to know more. I thought you might know. Okay, let's defer to the writers. But I thought it was the same day as a march that Trump supporters organized. They outnumbered them. That was like the thing where
the
wasn't covered.
Outnumbered them.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So it was some like pro-Trump.
It was like million rights, march or something like that. Okay, well, I thought everyone else had some information, but apparently not.
We just watched the sound bites from there.
Yeah.
I know that they outnumber. I know that there was a march to support Trump, and there was a march to support the Juggalos, and the Juggalos outnumbered
them.
So they have a lot of followers. Yeah. I mean, like millions. So it's
hopefully they tweet the show.
Well,
that'll be good for us. We need the ratings.
We're hoping we tagged them. So
I'm going to tell you a very dark story. Very dark story, maybe I shouldn't tell this. I don't know
how dark.
When I made Legit, so I had a sitcom on FX, and that involved, and it was a true story from many years earlier in my life where I took care of a guy with muscular dystrophy. My best friend had his brother had muscular dystrophy, and we took the brother to a brothel and got him laid before he died, and it was one of the more beautiful things that had ever happened in my life. And it sounds so seedy and all that type of stuff, but it actually was like sort of a empowering thing that happened in my life. Anyway, so the TV show launched, and there was this guy who had muscular dystrophy that was just abusing me on the internet. Why the adverts happened. He was just constantly like, fuck you doing muscular dystrophy, fuck you, who the fuck do you think you are? Oh, I've got muscular dystrophy. And you don't want to fight with a guy, he's got muscular dystrophy. So I was just like, all right, buddy, I hope you enjoy the show.
And most of those guys supported you.
Like, yeah, well, no, but after they saw the show, before that, they thought we were going to take...
Okay.
They thought we were going to be making fun of the situation, and that's not what we were doing at all. Anyway, so he tweeted out, he's watching the show, and he's like, and it meant so much to me that this guy was watching this show, and he tweeted out, he goes, "I'm watching Legit." He goes, "This is the best... portrayal of muscular dystrophy I've seen."
Prohibition.
He goes, he goes, "I'm really loving this show." And then he went to bed and he died. That's the truth, right? The guy went to bed and he died. And I remember being so upset.
How did you find out?
Because like, I kept on following his page.
I smothered him.
I kept on following his page. And then the next message was from like his sister. Like, he watched this TV show and then he went to bed and he died. And I remember thinking, that sucks, man, because I really needed ratings on that show.
No, but that story does make you look pretty good.
No, but
made him happy. So you kind of set us up there thinking, I'm going to do something really horrible here.
But you're
a bit of a hero.
You said it was dark. I mean,
it was dark. No. It was a show very complimentary about myself. I'll tell you another story about when I helped some wounded person.
Okay, so
basically, I'm the misogynist with a heart of gold.
Yeah. So
I was talking to Forrest about something funny the other day. It was like, it's every time I do something, because I've told so many horrible jokes on stage and everything, and I've always considered what I do for stand-up to be somewhat of a character and not to be who I am as an actual person, that every time I do something that has an agenda, whether it be like the anti-gun control or something that's fairly liberal or whatever, which is the way that I actually think in my life, people write to me like I've sold out or that I'm now when the election was happening, I did the whole anti-Trump routine about the "please don't be an asshole, America, and you can do the right thing here." People wrote to me, and one guy wrote to me and with the opening sentence, "How much is Hillary paying you?"
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking to myself, yeah, that's what the Hillary Clinton campaign did.
Yeah.
They all sat around going, "Let's really push this campaign over the line. Get me the misogynist Jim Jefferies." Like right now in Hillary's campaign, there's probably like her biography, there's probably a chapter like, "Where I went wrong." I probably shouldn't have given so much money to Jim Jefferies.
Yeah. Why'd you say you can only beat misogyny with more misogyny?
Yeah. I was trying to beat Donald Trump. But I I've said so many jokes throughout my career that I would say I regret. And then there's been some that I just think are funny and you have to get over it. And so, which brings us
to...
It's
like
you're
saying on tour, too. You can anything taken out of context can
anything
look very
taken out of
wrong
context, and that is one of my biggest problems. That is one of my biggest problems with people having cameras in an audience of a gig. I honestly don't mind if you record my show to watch it. It's just that if you take a sentence out of context of the entire show, then I can look like a complete asshole. And that brings us to Act 4. And Act 4... was Melania Trump was trying to do a nice thing because she's got to keep herself busy in between squinting. And so what she did was, because that takes up a lot of time, all right? Yeah. Right?
She's never had any work done, she says.
Wow.
How gravity works. Yeah.
I've seen photos of her when she was 16. She looks younger now. Because when we went to Slovenia, we met the photographer who took the original photos of her. She looks like... Anyway, I'm not a Melania Trump hater. As I said earlier, I think she's in this position. I'm not a fan of the lady. I just think out of all the first ladies we've had, she's the one that is the most caught. It's really a Beauty and the Beast situation. You know what I mean? Like, we always think of that's like Taylor's oldest time. It's Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's trying to keep herself busy. And what she did was she sent out some Dr. Seuss books to all the different schools.
Dr. Seuss.
And a librarian. Did I say that wrong? Dr. Seuss?
No, it's pronounced Prohibition.
It's pronounced too dope.
These books were before Prohibition.
Yeah.
And so what happens? She sent some Dr. Seuss books out. Now, these Dr. Seuss books, Just my opinion on the whole matter was it's a nothing thing she's doing. It's a time filler. Like, any school is going to be better off because they get 8 fucking books of Dr. Seuss. But what happened was there was a librarian who decided to take a political stance. Now, not often do we take the right-wing view of things, but I personally, and I am a big fan of Dr. Seuss. Now, the librarian that didn't want to accept these books, she was upset because she believed that the books had racist overtones in art in the actual books. The drawings had racial overtones. Now, the thing is, it's not actually the Dr. Seuss books that have the racist overtones in the art. It's some art that Dr. Seuss did before he started writing the books. He did some things that were sort of a bit minstrel-looking that involved cannibals and all that type of stuff.
But also, the photo of her that went around the internet immediately as her dressed in Cat in the Hat stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like...
So she already...
Yeah, that's what you said on the show, too. I don't know if... Right. Yeah, but it's like... So she's...
I don't think
that
she's
immediately
anti,
was on the internet. Yeah.
She's look, anti-Trump. She's not anti-Dr.
That's
Seuss.
The whole thing. She was trying to make more of a point than being anti-Dr. Seuss. Yeah. And let's these are the bare facts. The Cat in the Hat was played in a movie by Mike Myers, and he's a Canadian, and you can't get whiter than that. So let's not say that the Cat in the Hat is some type of black minstrel-type character. Now, as I said, I do read Dr. Seuss books to my son a lot, and I believe that things like Yodel the Turtle, which is a cautionary book of just accepting what you have in life and not trying to overreach and not trying to take over others for your own gain. Stars and Thars, which is like, be happy with you. You don't have to be someone else. I think there's many, many good moral tales, even political commentary in a Dr. Seuss book. So I was surprised when I heard this. So I did take the attitude of, well, fuck you on this. And do the writers want to comment at all? I don't know if you agree with me, because I came into the office and just sort of said what I wanted.
I thought it was great, yeah. No, well, I helped write that with Kirshen, and we thought, it's the perfect stance to take against the little librarian lady. I mean, she was, well, you were calling it choose your battles at first. Remember, you initially wanted to say pick your battles.
Originally, it was pick your battles.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that this woman doesn't
the segment would have been called
any
like
argument.
Yeah, it was going to be called pick your battles.
Maybe she does have an argument, but is this the argument you want
to
take?
My thing is just don't. She's trying to like dress it up as like, well, there's racist undertones. I'm like, no, I think you just want to say fuck you, Trump. I don't want your fucking book.
Yes.
Just say that. Yeah. Then I'd be like, hell yeah, or like, fuck you, I donated these books to it. Also, she was like, my school is a rich school in Cambridge, Massachusetts. We don't need these goddamn books. Give them to a school that actually needs them.
But what I say to that is, rather than bitch, mail them on. Re-gift.
Right.
Yeah, the real
moral
high ground.
Write the
Trumps
a letter that says, fuck you, I don't want your fucking books. That being said, I donated them to an actual school
that
needs
it. Took as much effort as actually just sending them on to something else. And let's be honest, like I said in the piece that Dr. Seuss helped people with literacy. Reading a Dr. Seuss book does not help you with literacy. Like the whole thing. There's a whole lot of made-up fucking words in there.
There's no green eggs right away.
It's a big letdown. Yeah.
Green eggs and hams, Horton, there's a who.
It's a very misleading world, really.
Anyway, so if you can take anything from this podcast or anything from any of my opinions, don't take it from my stance on gun control, because that's a wishy-washy area. But please know that I support green eggs and ham.
Yeah.
Now, that has been our podcast.
Oh, hold on. There's one piece of interesting information. I think there's an Easter egg this week, isn't there, in honor of a great musician who died. It might be nice.
Did we get that in?
But I do believe
we
did get that in.
We have a Tom Petty.
We have
Easter
a thing where we
for,
tell the people on the like, if politicians want to be at one with the American people, don't take private jets, take a Greyhound bus. And at the back of the bus, I didn't know we got this through because I can't see the screen while I'm performing, but we put Tom Petty. Yeah, was he actually on the back of the bus learning to fly?
I saw a little head back there, but that was Tom Petty.
Yeah. I was going to say, watch the episode and you can find the Easter egg.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. No. Because this comes out on Wednesday. Let's see if you saw the episode. And then If you haven't seen the episode and now you're like showing on DVR your friends the episode, you can have your little bit of
go back and watch it. Jim always sees an ideas, man. Jim Jeffries.
Before we go,
Forrest, Laura Wilcox,
let us know where people can find you. So,
my address, just kidding. It's I'm on Twitter, Laura_Wilcox. There's two L's in Wilcox. Little known fact.
That's important to know.
Benjamin didn't know that.
Oh, I didn't.
Okay.
JJ, you were Laura.
Yeah, Jim doesn't know anyone's last names, I don't think. JJ Whitehead.
I'm on the Twitter as well as JJ Whitesnake. I'm JJ Whitesnake on.
Are you a Whitesnake fan?
No, I was just drunk when I signed up.
Nice.
Okay. Now, I can honestly say that two out of the three people I am on the podcast with this evening, two of the smartest people I've ever worked with. You decide. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. We'll see you next week.
Okay, even if you're listening to the podcast, thank you for doing that. But please subscribe to us as well and follow us on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And rate and review us too. Thank you.